And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the passage that we've read today from the Gospel, according to St. Luke, there is Christ. And he is approached, called out to, by 10 men who share the same physical infirmity of leprosy. And they cry out to him, "Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us." I must say that it's no coincidence that close to this time in the lectionary for our offices, the Old Testament passages of the past few weeks concern Joseph and his brothers who are approaching him, knowing his true identity, saying, "Joseph, Master, have mercy upon us." Joseph sends his 10 brothers on their way, and as they went, they found that they had been fed and that their money had been returned to them, and more money as well. Now, it's not a one-for-one, but that complicated story, that entire saga of Joseph is certainly a pointing to Christ, a favored son who was rejected by his own brethren, sold for silver, descended into the lowest place before being raised to the right hand. And by this point, you're not sure whether I'm talking about Joseph or Jesus, but for Joseph, raised to the right hand of Pharaoh, becoming instrumental in the salvation of countless people. Sounds pretty familiar. Here now in the New Testament, though, Jesus sends these 10 lepers on their way, and they are blessed on their journey, finding that before they could present themselves to the priests, they were healed. But something happens then that is the focus of the story, truly, I believe. Something like Benjamin, the brother, who's given more than all the others. There is a Samaritan who is filled with such joy and grace and thanksgiving that he does not continue on his way to the priest before he returns to speak to the one who healed him. This Samaritan has a special connection with Jesus, just as Benjamin had a special relationship with Joseph. This Samaritan is healed and returns to give thanks to his healer. There are probably 10,000 ways to preach about this event in the life of our Lord amongst us. Today you will hear two. First, there's a very simple means of interpreting the passage, and if no deeper meaning is grasped than that which is on the surface, the lesson is weighty enough on its own. And the message is this: when you cry out to God for any reason, and he turns and blesses you with an answer, with a healing, with a guidance, with provision, even with simply peace that passes understanding, peace that doesn't make sense in your situation, with an improvement in circumstances or with anything that you've asked for, even with the faith that you needed to persevere in a circumstance that you do not understand, you have a choice to do in what you will, how you will respond. The story of the 10 lepers is for us today, then we have to agree that most people, after their answer to prayer, are going to continue on without fully acknowledging the blessing they had received, and they'll find something new to worry about and to pray fervently for, which is not all bad. But there will be a few who will return with special intention. And Jesus was well pleased with the Samaritan, not because of his heritage or his sense of humor, but because he remembered to return and give thanks. Of course, you know that while our worship services can be called by many names, the sacrament of the Lord's table and many other names, the term we use most often here is the Holy Eucharist, thanksgiving. The Eucharist, in many ways, is simply a returning to Christ for the many gifts that he's given us, most of all, the supreme gift of himself. We offer ourselves, our souls, and our bodies, since we owe ourselves to him, not primarily by duty or by rule or by dominion, but just in thanksgiving. It's meet and right so to do. And in return, he gives himself to us more and more fully in the sacrament of his body and blood. And it serves us well for a moment to consider the nature of thanksgiving. What is giving thanks in this case, but fully acknowledging the situation? Yours is an illness you are helpless to cure. His is a wellness that is greater than your illness, and he grants you, without your deserving it, his divine health. Not to give thanks shows that you have either not understood your illness or not understood your healing. Eucharist is understanding, acknowledging. Thanksgiving is not only meet and right to do, but it is very meet, right, and if you want to get down to duty, you're bound in duty. But as the gospel story goes, Jesus is forced to offer a painful and equally true evaluation of the circumstance with the 10 lepers by means of a rhetorical question. Jesus says to the Samaritan, "You have returned to give thanks. Where are the other 9? Where are most of the people? Where are the others who have received a healing mercy? Where are the others who have lived in relative peace? I have come and taken humanity upon myself. I have taken your sins and paid your debt. I have stood in your place and received wrath for your rebellion from God. I have made restoration for you possible. I have rescued you. I have given you my life. And because of the grace that I have granted to this world, the ravages of sin are bridled, and your freedom is vastly increased. So, where is everybody? Where are the vast majority of people? Even this morning." And you don't have to answer that out loud. We all know where the other 9 are. They're on down the road somewhere. Away from Christ, out of earshot. Without saying that those ones do not have faith or something, or without saying that the healing of others is revoked for their thoughtlessness. Jesus never says that. Jesus simply says to the Samaritan, who is able to have a special and intimate moment with Christ himself, one of Eucharist, he says, "Go, your faith has healed you." It is a shame to have to say that thanksgiving is required if you've ever been told by your parents when you were a kid something like, "Say you're sorry," or "Say you're thankful." Oof. It's just, I hate to even mention the very common term of obligation in the church. It is your obligation. It is a feast of obligation, a day of obligation. Can you imagine the 9 lepers who were healed being required to return to Christ to give thanks? What a sorry scene that would be. But the Eucharist is us returning to Christ who healed us when we cried out for mercy, to receive his blessing anew and to hear him say, "Depart in peace, to love and serve the Lord." Sermon 1, complete. Be thankful, be thoughtful, be mindful of the blessings surrounded you, even if you're focused upon the problems that yet remain, and acknowledge at all times what we do each week in our doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Sermon 2. We must dig down into a few funny things that happen in the process of this event with Jesus. The first takes a little heat off of the 9 who didn't return to give thanks because they did at least 2 things right. First, they called out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us." And that takes some faith and understanding just there. They could have cried out, "Why, God, have you afflicted me? I give up. There's no hope. No one can help me now." Secondly, in their response, there was an even greater act of faith. Jesus' specific instructions were to go and present yourselves to the priests. Of course, the priests were the ones in the culture at the time who would be able to declare you to have been recovered from leprosy or still afflicted. Jesus' specific instructions, and you notice the order of the events. He doesn't heal them and then say, "Go present yourselves to the priests," but rather, "Go present yourself to the priest," and while they were on the way, they were healed. Go and do what I'm asking you to do, though you do not understand it, though I have no intention of allowing you to fully understand it. And when you're on the way, after you have begun to obey, you will see what I was doing in time. And no, I'm not going to explain it to you. Should we be surprised or suppose that this is some kind of grammatical typo or a copyist's error or something like that? I don't think so. Jesus does not say to themselves, gather yourselves up, start heading towards a priest, and while you're on the way, you'll see that you're healed. And before you get too far, I'd like you to come back to give thanks for being healed. And then when you get to the priest, you'll do this. And no, he didn't explain any of that. That's just how life in Christ works. I truly believe that he intends, I would say, for lack of a better term, the best for us. And I don't mean that he intends for us to have good health and he's just really bad at giving us good health. He intends for us to have lots of money and ease and comfort and he just can't handle all of these requests. I don't think so. I cannot think of another way to say it except that I truly believe the Christian life, in this life, he means for us to know firsthand that we can trust him. The full picture is here in the experience of this Samaritan. To us, Jesus says, though you have not seen what I'm going to do, how I'm going to do it, obey what I'm saying and see if I don't bless you. And when you are blessed, keep your head on straight and revel in a supernatural outpouring of thanksgiving. Let it well up in you and don't squash it with a new anxiety. Go and present yourself to the priest is no doubt only the essence of a command that will be absolutely indifferent, absolutely unique and different for each of you. I won't even begin to guess what it is that Christ has been calling you to do individually. But I suppose if you took 10 minutes, you could think of it. Perhaps it sounds something like this. Contact that person. Write that letter. Visit that place again. Give what you know you're supposed to give. Say what you know you're supposed to say. Go where I sent you. Do what I've asked you to do. See if God isn't faithful to you, and if you're not blessed as you go on the way, obeying him. Your Christian life is one to be in which you depart in peace and love and serve the Lord, but return to this place each Sunday. Here we are returning every week for Eucharist. Does that sound familiar? Depart in peace to love and serve the Lord, even though you don't understand how he's going to help you this week, and return each Sunday for Eucharist. To share your overflow of thanksgiving because it's meet and right so to do. And to receive again of Christ himself, and to learn to trust him more and more, and then depart in peace again, to love and serve the Lord again. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.